We're going to need a substitute this morning, I'm afraid. Papa Josh was in the hospital yesterday.
See, the item being...
Oh, he's out. Ve'ilu ha-neharagim. So we have finished now the list of the Nisqalim and the Nisrafim, and now we're coming on to the Chayavim B'Sayev. Harotseach, we are She'ir ha-nidachat. The only two cases that we have, the fear of Neharogim, that was of Sayev, is a murderer, and the people in the Ir HaNidachat, who normally would be Chayev Skila, Pravodat Kochavim, but as we know, in the context of Ir HaNidachat, the Torah was specifically Mekil on the Chiyav Misa. Now, Rotseach, when we say the Rotseach is Chayev Cherev, it's not because the Ratzicha itself was performed necessarily b'cherev. It wouldn't matter whether the Ratzicha was makir b'ehud, b'eben, or b'barzil, or even if he was kavash alav l'toch ha-mayim or l'toch ha-ur. Let's say that someone murdered using a stone, or using metal, it's exactly the same. Or for that matter, even if he simply pressed down on him and prevented him from getting out of the water when he had fallen into the water, or prevented him from getting out of a fire when he was in a fire, so that he didn't do the actual pushing of the men into the danger, but prevented him from getting out of that danger. As long as any yochol alot misham because of him, and he dies, chayav, he would be chayav on that too. And for that matter, if he pushed him into the water, or let's talk about he pushes him into a burning building or into a fire, and in other circumstances we would normally have expected that he would have gotten out of it, somehow he never comes up, and he dies, you would be potter, because again, we learn out from the pasuk that it has to be, the act of murder has to be measurable in advance, that this is what was expected. And not that it just turned out that way under these circumstances. Somebody who sicks a dog onto someone, or gets a snake angry and sicks it on someone, he would be potter, because over there it's just a groma b'yalma. And he actually bites the person with the nachash, and he brings the fangs into the person. Rabbi Yehuda mechayev v'chachamim potrim. And here there's a machlokas, we'll see later on in the Gemara, as to whether we view the insertion of the nochash's teeth as the actual injection of the poison. So the venom is now automatically inserted into him at the same time that he, or whether it requires an additional act of a muscle that's pushing out the poison. It wouldn't happen automatically, in which case it would be no different than Shisabo Tachelev. We'll see that machlokes in the Gemara later on. We're going to be looking at all kinds of different cases in the Segovia. Let's just read through the lashon in the pasuk. Here it says it's in the middle of the parsha of Ore Niklat, and the Torah says the im bechli varzel hikohu. Vayomos, rotseyachu. Now notice it just says kli barzel of any kind. Then it says, v'im be'even yad asher yamut ba hikahu, o bechli et yad asher yamut ba hikahu vayomot. Now notice that in the two cases where we're talking about kli eitz, we're talking about even, there was, first of all, referring to yad, it had to be something that filled his hand, and it has to be dafka asher yamut ba, which it does not say with the kli barzel. And then it says, "V'im b'sinaya hetfenu." If in hatred he pushes him, oh, he shalich alav b'tzdiya v'yamot. He throws something on him. Oh, ve'eva hikahu v'yado v'yamot. In all of these cases, So it's not clear exactly what these latter cases add and why we have the distinction between the different types of things. This is what the Gemara is going to go into. Says the Gemara Mashmuel, Mipnei ma lo ne'emra yad bevarzel. Why do we find that the other kelim, the Torah mentions that it should fill his hand? When it comes to the barzel, it doesn't say anything about ve'im bevarzel yad or klei barzel yad. Because ya barzel may meet becholshu. The point of it here is that in barzel we don't require any type of analysis, how large it is, how heavy it is, because the barzel is capable of killing in other fashions. It would penetrate, it could make a hole in his heart or cut some kind of artery or whatever. So there, we don't require that it should be asher yamut, but any barzel is asher yamut. Tanya nami, hafi Rebbe Omer, galui v'yadua. It's known to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Barzel kills in any fashion, which is why the Torah doesn't mention Yad, which is a particular shiur of the Barzel. But of course this is not magic. I mean, it's only if the Barzel punctures his skin. I mean, otherwise, if you're just using it as an Evan, which is what the Evan is made out of, then of course it would be no difference than an Evan Yad. But if we're talking about Barzel qua Barzel, I mean, it's a weapon that punctures, then even a tiny bullet hole is it enough to kill him. We don't need a shield. Mivras means puncture. The Kovash Shalav L'Toch HaMayim, now he holds the guy's head down under the water. Now both cases are a chiddush, because in the Reisha it says he holds it down, but not that you put him there. The Zeva says you put him there, but you hold him down. And both of those are chiddushim, because the Reisha Rabuta Kamashva and the Sefer Rabuta Kamashva. Reisha Rabuta Kamashva and the Reisha is telling us a chiddush that you're chayev av al gav, to love iu dachvo, even though you weren't the one that pushed him, but given any akola alot misham, since you make it impossible for him to get out of the water, so there, if he dies, you would be chayiv. The Seifa is also Rabuta Kamash, was also telling you a chidush, that Apa Gav D'Dachafo, even though Lamaisa was you who pushed him in, but since generally Kivan, she Diakola Lot Misham, under normal circumstances, we would have expected that he would have gotten out of the water that you threw him into, out of the fire that you threw him into. In this particular case, I mean, whatever it was, he died. You're still potter, even though you were the one that threw him in. Now, this din of being kovesh certainly sounds like a big chiddush. I mean, because I, Lamaisa, don't do the killing. I simply prevent him from saving himself, so to speak. He's already underwater. So he's in a position which he cannot breathe. I'm going to make it impossible for him now to get out. And that sounds more like a groma. How do I know that kivush is chayv? Well, that's the pasuk that we just read. The pasuk adds something that isn't an addition. It's discussed every different way of murdering him. It talks about you hit him with something, and what type of thing you hit him with, or whether you use something that can puncture him, whether you throw things at him, or you throw him off of things. So what are you adding? Obeiva. What if he killed him in anger? Killed him how? I mean, we just had that list. Ah, so it's coming now to add an additional case not mentioned above. What is that case? L'rabot et hamitzamtzem. That's good for coming to add this case that it's considered to be a direct hariga by preventing the person from getting out from under the water or out from a fire. Now the question is, how specific is this halacha to the din of ritzicha? Now that we've learned it out from the pasuk, is it a special halacha in murder, or is it now, does it redefine how we're to look at groma? Well, we actually had a case of Ahu Gavra, the mitzamtzera l'chiyuti dechavre b'shimsha umesa. There was a certain gentleman who locked his friend's animals in the sun and died. Now, that is, essentially didn't allow the animal to get away from the effects of the sun, so that ultimately it died of sunstroke. And there was a question as to whether he's chayev. So Ravina mechayev, and Ravaka barav, potar. Now all he did over here was he locked it in. Right? He was mitzamsem it. Mitzamsem it. He just didn't let it go away from there. So we had a machlokas. Ravina says, well, he's chayev. I mean, clearly relates to our sugya. Rav Acha Barav says he's potter. Ravina says he's chayev of the kal vachomer. If a rotseach, where certainly the Torah has gone out of its way to make very, very important distinctions between a rotseach b'shkagah and a rotseach b'mezid, or a rotseach b'ones, these are three separate halakas. But what is a chiyuv misa? And one is a chiyuv of golus, and one is potter. And nonetheless, when it comes to a mitzamtzem, chiyev bo et a mitzamtzem, it's said that a mitzamtzem is the equivalent of a premeditated act of murder, the mezid, and it's mechayev. So when it comes to the parsha of nezikin, all we're interested in over there is torts. And we know that generally in all of the chiyuv, im asabem shogei ki mezid va'onis kiratza. Now, we said adam u'ad olam, and it doesn't matter whether he's planning it or he isn't planning it, he's certainly going to be chayev. Again, the word ones keratzon is important to recognize. It doesn't literally mean ones keratzon, because there are some onasim that are not keratzon. And obviously being used by someone, which was similar to the case of a rape that we talked about a couple of days ago, so to be used as a passive object is not called ones. That's not your act. Or the Yerushalmi is even mechalik by somebody who's asleep. If somebody brings the kalim next to a person who is sleeping, who went to sleep in an area where there were no kalim, and he turns over and is asleep and he breaks something, that's not considered to be a case of ones keratzon, as Tosfos points out over here. But ones keratzon is in the cases that are similar to ones by retira, is chayev by nizikin. So kol shekein neino din shechayev behem et hamitzamtzem. So certainly, this should be no excuse to say that, well, I wasn't the one who pushed him in. I prevented him from getting out from under the water and so on. What's the difference? It's certainly going to be mechayev. Whereas Rav Acha Barav poter, now that sounds rather strange. Why should that be? Omer of Mishashi, my time of that budava, what's my grandfather's reasoning? Why does he say that it's poter? Because, take a look in the pasuk, it stresses mot yumat hamateh. Rotseach, we're at the end of this pasuk. Where did we learn out the whole din of Ritzicha b'tzimtzum, meaning b'kvisha? Ho be'evahi ko v'yado. That was the case. Then that extra pasuk continues on to say, Mot yumat hamakeh, rotseachu. Well, I should hope so. I mean, that's what we're discussing. So if it's telling us rotseachu, it's got to be saying, because we're talking about the parasha of rotseach. So only here are we machadish because of the chumrah of Ritzicha, that the Torah is now machayev, even a mitzamtzem. So it's berotzeach udechayev lon mitzamtzem. It's here that someone is, because of this new idea of the chumrah of Ritzicha, that you're chayev on tzimtzum, meaning on kibush, holding a person down. But binizakim lo chayev lon mitzamtzem. In such a case, the equivalent case by nezikin, there's no chayev on tzimtzum. Omar Rava kafato umet bira'av patur. Now suppose you tie the guy up and he dies. He dies of hunger. He has no way of eating. You go into a guy's house and nobody ever goes and visits him and so on. Tie him up and leave. No, he didn't do anything. All he did was tie him up. But the fact is that 4 days later he's discovered dead from starvation. So, are you chayef, says Rava? No, you're potter. On the other hand, Amar Rava, kafato b'chama umet, you tie the guy up in the sun, and he dies. Or you tie him up at Bitsinai, you tie him up in the cold, so he can't go indoors. And you lock him out outside. It's not quite the same as locking, but you tie him up outside. So then if he dies, you would be chayev. However, if sof chama lavo, and sof tzina lavo, patur. If, when you put him outside, the sun had not yet risen, and it wasn't shining on him at the time, and at the time you tied him up outside, it wasn't cold. It's only going to get cold. We're expecting a blizzard. But right now, it's fine. Then you would be potter. Furthermore, on our Rava, kafatolitze ari potter. If you tie a guy up in front of a lion, you would be potter. But lifnei yitushin, if you tie him up in front of mosquitoes, you would be chayev. Let's try to figure it out. Rav Ashi says, no, even in front of mosquitoes you would be potter. One, because Hani Azli Vahani also, you don't have the same mosquitoes draining his blood, for heaven's sakes. You've got some mosquitoes that were there at the time, and now other mosquitoes have come, and so for all intents and purposes, this is a case of Sof Chamal Lavo. So the point over here in all of these cases is that the effect has begun at the time of the Krisha. If the effect has not as yet begun, then the fact an effect will begin is no different than a normal grama. I caused you to die, but I only caused you. It's necessary for me to do an action that impacts you in a way that begins a process at the time that I do it that ends with your death. Then I am chayav. But if I haven't begun that process, I put you in a position in which that process will begin. And I make all the difference in the world by doing that, because otherwise it wouldn't have happened, which is not the case, as Rashi learns the Ari, which is not the case by the Ari, because the lion's going to get him, it'll get him whether he tries to fight him off or not. So what's the difference if he's tied up? Tosfos learns, no, the Ari is part of this whole Seder here of pointing out those things that have begun. So the Yitushim have begun. My tying it down is not the thing that enables the Yitushim to start getting you. They'll be stinging you anyway. But the point is the difference between the same as the Sof Chamal Lavo. So even though I know 100% it's going to happen, I didn't start it. The same thing is true. Tosis is bothered by the hunger element. Why is the hunger, why don't we say that has started? In the sense that, I mean, right now when I tie him up, he can't eat. So Joseph points out that the question of a hunger that is going to kill a person is not the hunger that would enable him right now to eat. Because we're talking about a qualitatively different growing problem which becomes now critical later on, in which it's not simply hunger, but in which it's malnutrition and the guy is dying from it. That's something else. But that hasn't begun now. So Mamela, in all of these cases, even the Mitzamsem, says Rava, a Mitzamsem will not be chayav unless the death is already in motion. So that which is going to kill you has started affecting you at this point.
So the man is underwater.
He's already in basically in the process of being choked. Now so now I'm choking him.
Carrying on the process.
Right.
Would Rebbe explain I don't understand why the sun and the other things when it starts off not cold and it's going to be, or not hot and it's going to be, why that, I don't understand why that.
Why is that any different than anything else? What don't you understand?
I understand the process, it's going to come, these are things that.
But it hasn't come, it's not there. What is there not there?
It's going to become a Lama Kayas, or it's going to happen.
Where did we say that? Who said that?
By the parents.
What's the shaykhus over there has to do with ownership? This is a very vague.
We say that these things are going to
happen. Why do you say we say? You say.
I say so.
So pull back. The Gemara doesn't agree with you. That's all. Pull back. There's no problem. You see clearly what the difference is. What you're trying to do is create a reason why we should have a problem. That's like Sof Chamal Lavo. The problem isn't here yet. You're trying to make the problem. Not the problem. Not a problem.
With what I would think is logical.
Feelings aren't the issue. You have to speak rationally. When you're ready to do so, I'm ready to respond. So, furthermore, so far we have a what appears to be a clear-cut distinction. Now, it gets a little bit dicier, because we continue on with a case like this. Itman, kofa alav gigit, umpara alav maziva. How about if you put a barrel over somebody? Now, he's going to run out of air and die. How about if you smash his roof open? Now, the guy is asleep, doesn't even know what's going on. You open up the roof. Okay, now in the course of the night, his body temperature goes down, he dies. What would be the din over there? Rava v'Rebbe Zera argue, one says Chayev and one says Potter. Now it seems clear who says what, because Rava's got to be the one who says Potter. This time the Rava with the Yomar Potter, Yomar Rava Kafato made Bira'av Potter. Isn't this similar to the case of somebody in which he ends up dying from hunger? He's Potter. So the same thing is true over here. What happens is, he's now inside of a barrel. He's going to run out of air. Okay, so he's gonna run out of food. It seems like the same case. So Rava would say in that case that he's Potter, isn't it? Well, no, on the contrary. Adrava. This time the Rebbe Zera with the Amar Potter, it's got to be Rebbe Zera who says that he's Potter, because Rebbe Zera is the one who says that Hai man de aile lechavre the beta de shisha. Somebody who brings his erstwhile friend into an absolutely airtight house that is made out of marble, so it doesn't have any, it's got solid walls, close to the air, puts him into this house, and lights a candle. And closes the door. He lights the candle, and then the guy surprisingly dies. He's chayev. Now you see. It's only because he lit the candle. So in other words, he is actively taking the oxygen away from this person, which would be similar to chanikah. But if he simply let him run out of oxygen, then he would be potter. So that means that Rebbe Zera is the one who holds that you put him into the barrel, you put a barrel over him, that you would be put. Hallo adik leshraga lo, if you hadn't done that, and he simply died from using up the air on his own, so then you would be put. Now how can you say it's Rava? And yet, it does seem to be like the case of Rava, we say that he's put, because it seems to be the same as the case of the running out of food. Says the Gemara, no, it's different. Amri Chosam, in the case of the house, if there's no shraga, lo matchil havala. We do not note, and again, remember that what's important when it comes to the definition of an act in halacha is only gross effects. We're not interested in the hidden mechanisms, because they're unimportant to us. So what happens grossly is when a person is locked into a house, there's no evidence that we sense at the time of any loss of oxygen. If we put him in a barrel, we immediately sense the loss of oxygen. Already the air is different. Therefore, without lighting the candle, in which I directly affect the oxygen myself, then I'm not going to be chayev. So Hasan Beloshraga lo matkal havola b'shaite. At that point where I put him into the house, we wouldn't have been able to detect now any difference in the oxygen level. Whereas Hacha Beloshraga, in the case of the barrel, where you put a person in a plastic bag, so over there, Beloshraga nami matkal havola b'shaite. Even if I don't do anything to take away the oxygen that's in there, the effect is immediately noticeable.
It's limited already.
What's that?
It's limited his oxygen supply.
I limit him when I put him in a building.
This is all the thing.
But again, I mean, what if I put him into a submarine? In other words, what point is it not? You know, is it limited for how long? I mean, the point that Rava is making is that you need to make an impact at the time that is notable. So if you haven't made that impact, if I don't see the process in process, then I haven't done anything.
So maybe an easier way to say it is that if I'm running out of air, that's not the issue. It's when do I start breathing in carbon dioxide? That's what kills me. So
no, carbon dioxide doesn't kill you. The lack of oxygen kills you. You're confusing carbon monoxide with carbon dioxide, and that's not what we have.
If the air you breathe in has too high a concentration,
it doesn't kill you. You just don't get enough oxygen.
And that's what kills
you. Poisonous about carbon dioxide. No, it can't help you live.
You're breathing the bad elements.
Again, you're talking about non-gross effects, and we couldn't care less. We couldn't care less. You haven't poisoned the person. You just run out of it.
We're talking about a continuum, though. It's a matter of quantity. It's not a matter of something that's mild.
And what we're saying, well, it's your, yeah, that's true. But in terms of what is measurable, there's a qualitative difference. Because measurable, again, all processes in the Torah are primitive processes. That's a deeper Torah from the Adam. We're not concerned with what's really going on. We're concerned with what appears to be going on. So that if we have certain things that don't seem to reproduce, they magically appear through spontaneous generation. The fact that I may be able to run an experiment in which I'll, you know, carefully isolate the, you know, there were many experiments which nobody accepted because there were always other variables. It's not all that simple to have the experiment. But it looks like certain things don't reproduce sexually. They just sort of appear out of the dirt. And other things actually reproduce. Now, who's going to believe that flies reproduce sexually? I mean, that's ridiculous, right? So the point is that as far as the Torah is concerned, that's one group of creatures. That's another group of creatures. Because we're talking about how you deal with things, not what's hidden beneath the surface. So it's true over here. How do we deal with things? Have we, in fact, in locking a door to a house, have we murdered our children? It's just that we're expecting to open the door before they all die. No, nobody thinks that way. They're not going to think about the fact that, gee, if I really close the door when it's well insulated, the house, and I've closed everything off, I'm killing my children every time. Well, of course I'm not. I mean, there's plenty of air here. So the next time we open a window, okay, in this case, nobody's going to open the window. So at what point do you say you've killed the guy? That's all that it's saying. So where the impact, it has to be detectable. I detect Havle at the point that I put him into a plastic bag. And I don't detect Havle at the point that I put him into a well-insulated house. That's all. If I do something in which right away somebody comes into the house and starts feeling headachy, so there's something burning in the house, you know, you turn on one of those Israeli gas or, you know, a neph heater or something, you get sick right away from it. So the lion, again, that's why Rashi says the lion issue is because it's irrelevant. Whether he's tied up or he's not tied up, either the lion is hungry or the lion's not hungry. And it's not going to make any
difference. He's got a fighting chance.
Yeah, does he?
If he runs fast, he can find out.
So he's from Africa, he'll tell you.
It's like running away from a bully. Yeah, he's got a fighting chance. Yeah.
Oh, my rubber. Now it gets more interesting. Suppose you pull a 1-2 punch. Meaning, you do an action, which at the time that you do it, does not necessarily have to result in the guy's death. This is already now, it's suggesting itself, because you're saying, okay, I tied the bag, I expected to untie the bag, and then the phone rang, and I forgot. Would have happened to me, also. That happens to you every time you tell somebody, hold on, I'll be back in a second. You go, and half an hour later, you think of
it.
It's incredible. All right, so over here, we have a case in which, let's say you push a guy into a well, and there's a ladder there, the Sulamba boy. Now, somebody else comes along and takes away the ladder. Or for that matter, you come along and take away the ladder. Suppose you take away the ladder now, you're potter, because you at no time did an act that would directly cause this guy's death. At the time that you put him in there, he could have gotten out of there. By taking it out of there, it's only a grumma, you didn't do anything. So therefore, be'idna d'shadya, when you threw him in, yoko la'alotu, he was in a state in which he could have gotten out. For that matter, suppose you shoot a gun and the guy is behind a wall. You then run faster than the bullet, smash down the wall, and now the bullet kills the guy. Okay, now that's our next case. Zorak Ches. Now you shoot an arrow, retreats the other, and this guy is holding something that's going to prevent the arrow from... Now, somebody grabs the treats away from him, or even you yourself. A filu hu kadam, you run faster. He had a string attached to the tree. When it's a low, you pull it out of the place so that now the arrow can kill him. You're also potter. Because at the time that you shot the bullet, it wouldn't have killed him. All that's happened now is that you've done something, an additional separate pula, which is a grum of the alma, to allow the bullet to get there. So be even the shadya by nipsik paske gire. Your arrows essentially had ended at the point that the force field was. Now the fact that you turned off the force field is a setback.
And the one who removed the shield, would he be?
Even you yourself removed the shield. It's only a grumma.
It's two separate acts, neither one of which would have done anything.
Correct. Even when done by the same person.
Even when done by the same person.
Is this the Shorash of the Superman slogan? Faster than the speeding bullet?
Maybe it is. We're going to find the Shorash of baseball today. It's really interesting.
I think we're in Agatha Christie country.
When we say Pater with these people, is that Pater Meklum? Is there any sort of...
The Rambam says, Va'apapi Shepater Rotseachu. And God will collect.
No God.
The Yomar Rava. Zorak Bo. Okay, furthermore, let's say this guy shoots an arrow, maybe it's a poison arrow, or this guy has Samanim B'yado, and he has in his hand, he has an antidote. When somebody now goes over and steps on the antidote, crushes the vial. Oh no! There are people who kadam pizvan, or he himself goes and he gets rid of it. Patur. The beinah the shadibe at the time that he shot him, yokoli prapotave, he could have saved himself. This is one step beyond because over here, unless something was done to prevent his death after the arrow hits him, he will die. Nonetheless, we don't view this shot as being a fatal shot, because under the circumstances, it wouldn't have been fatal. Om Ravashi, take that one step further, says Ravashi, Yilkakafi was Samanim Beshuk. This, if there were Samanim available in the market and they could have been purchased, if nobody bothered purchasing them, that's still not a fatal shot. Om Ravakmari Revel Ravashi, well, how about in the inverse? How about if at the time that you shot him, there was no Samanim available.
Samanim
is a cure. Yeah. And then somebody brings in Samanim. Woo, 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 and there we go. And now the guy could have actually administered the antidote, but didn't. My, what's been over there? Because maybe we should say at the time that he shot him, it would have been a fatal shooting. Look, what's your problem? The bottom line is, before we bring him to din, we can find a way in which he can be motzi him zakai and say it wasn't fatal. So why should we bring mechayim? The Omar Rava says, Rava, now here's a really good one. Suppose you killed someone with a ricochet. So now, zarak tzror v'koto, you throw a rock on a wall, and you're really good at this. V'chazrola achareva harga, and you had it bounce off the wall, hit somebody in the head and kill him.
A full shot.
So now, is that a only like a grama because it's not your direct koach, or do we view it as your direct koach now that has been deflected? Chayev, you'd be chayev in that case, and the raya is from baseball. The tanatuna to go in elo amisachakim bekadur shahorgu b'mezid neharogim. People that play ball. Now Rashi says the game is as follows. Instead of using a bat, this is a little more complex game, a really cute game. What happens is, it's a combination of a handball and baseball. So you slam the ball against the wall. The ball now ricochets in a different direction. You run and try to get to the base. Somebody catches the ball and now has to throw the ball and touch you with the ball to stop you before you hit the base. Okay, just you score if you get to the base before this guy now gets you with the ball. Now, that's total. There is a game like this?
It's simple. You throw it at the thing that bounces off and people run around.
Oh, okay. Fine. Never heard of this. Now, in this case, what you did was you slammed the ball against the wall in such a way that it hit the receiver right in the head and killed him.
The runner?
No, you're the runner.
The guy is supposed to catch the ball.
The guy is supposed to catch the ball. Right, so it hits him and it killed him. So now, what's the din over there?
Off the wall.
We really turned much of our farm, man. So if they were horeid, the mazid, they're narrowed. the shogeg, they're goling. And therefore, it must be that the din, where you want to, what's the difference if it's a bounce? It's a bounce that's viewed as a redirection of your initial koach, and if that's how you manage to actually aim it, so then that's great. You're chayev. What do you mean, the shogeg goling, pshita? Why not? Well, the maiden erogin is strichalei. Ma'atatema hatra'at safeki. Mi yemar da hadra. I mean, you might think that this is called hatra'at safek because, I mean, why should we say that this act is actually, maybe I can't see that it's going to hit the guy right now. Kamash malan, that is called a real hatra'at. Now, we'll see later on that there's another chiddush here, which I think is obvious, and we have to wonder why the Gemara doesn't say it. Tommy Rav Taklifa Bar Ma'arova Kamei the Rebbe Abu. When we talked about that case, now, I want to make it clear that if Hargu B'Toch Arba Amot Patur, if they hit the guy now who's standing within 4 Amos of the wall, then they would be part of B'Shogeg. And if it's Chutzla Arba Amot, but if they're standing more than 4 Amot from the wall, they're Chayev. I don't understand what you're talking about. Who cares? I mean, if you dummy. I mean, obviously, the only difference would be that when somebody is playing a game of ball, and we're talking about the shogeg, his intent is not to kill anybody, he obviously is trying to get that ball to slam as far as it possibly can. So therefore, if it's betoch arbamot, it's too close to the wall, obviously, this is a bad shot. And we know that the halacha is, if you were bechavein to throw something 4 amos, and it only went 2 amos and hit someone, you'd be potter, because it was lo nitkayim machshavto. It's not what you wanted to do at all. So it's a mis-aim. Okay, so over there, I don't understand how you're giving a rule to it. I mean, idika nechale, afilu towards an army. If that's what you're willing, that it should be so short, a slam. So what's the difference how little it is? Midalone echale, and if you didn't want it to go that far, who cares how far it is? Then afilu to an army love. You should be put there even if it goes further. What's your point?
This could hit him in flight. I mean, you intended to go 20 on one, it hits him at
no, but normally you would want it to go above him so you can't catch it. But point of view, you're trying to get it away from the guy. Now, not only to catch it, it catches him. And that's certainly not what you're trying to do. You're trying to shoot. So then how are you making 4 on this? Well, Marlene Stam, Mr. Hakim Bekadur. The point I'm making is that because it's a ball game, it's not the same as Zorak Zorak. That's all I'm pointing out. Is that if you're playing a ball game, then Kamada Azle Mine, Nechale, Menach Nechale, you want that ball to go as far as it could possibly go. That's the intent of the game. In which case, you have to understand that within 4 amas, that's looked at as just like a foul. I mean, that's not even a ball. So in that case, it certainly is connected to your makshav. That's all I'm pointing out. Now you're saying, well, maybe the guy got no kosel?
I'm talking about stun ball. Half of these balls kill them. What sort of balls are they?
Hard. What? Baseballs kill?
These balls.
High and puts up. Danny Saunders games.
But they had the
bouncing ball. No, I mean, obviously they were playing with them.
What's this? What's the
time
put
the ball?
What do you mean, owing meaning? That was the whole thing. Yeah, the only time he hit, and he killed somebody. You're not familiar with that.
Much harder. They didn't have a rubber play.
Oh.
It'd be much harder to get killed by a baseball.
Right. Anyway, let's get back to the Gemara. Ellie, I'm sure you're enjoying the conversations in the background, listening to everybody's voice, but, you know, we need to get back to the top. So now, you're assuming, therefore, Lamema the guy got him with Kochahus, you're saying that a ricochet of this type is considered to be the direct co-op of the person who threw the ball initially. Otherwise, it couldn't be Machiah then. The problem is that we have a Mishnah, as you say, not like that. Ramini hamikadesh nafal kiddush al yado o al hatzad v'acharkach nafal l'shoket pasul. When you're mikadesh the mayim for the poradumah, so So what you do is you have a shoket. Shoket is this trough, and it's got a little hole in the side that allows the water to come in from the well, because it's behind time. So it's got a, just like a mikveh, where you have the little area that is hashaka. So now you're going to put the ash into the water, and that's called kiddush hamayim. And that has to go directly from you, the mekadesh, into the water. Over here, the kiddush falls on your hand, bounces off, and goes into the water. Or it bounces off of the edge of the kli, and then falls into the water. In all such cases, it's not a kosher kiddush, because it says over there that it has to be from you. It needs koach gavra, we learn out. And this is not called kochos. But according to what you say here, a ricochet is considered to be kochos. Says the Gemara, well, what's the problem? Here it's not talking about a ricochet. It's talking about, it's like you powder, right? You throw powder, it landed on something else, and then it rolls in. That's not a ricochet. Your koach is finished. By the time the powder landed, it landed on your finger. Now you turn your finger over and it falls in. That's not kochah, obviously. And therefore, you would be potter. Not potter. In this case, I mean, in the case of Misa, you'd be potter. In this case, you didn't do the kiddush properly. Tashma. But we have another case that seems similar. A machas, which is netunah lakeres. So you have two things now. You have to be mitzaher using the hazayah, the paraduna. You put down this small needle on top of a kli. Now you did the hazayah, but it's not clear whether you did the hazayah directly on the machat or whether it bounced off of the cheres onto the machat. So sopek al hamachat hizah, sopek al hacheres hizah umitza alei hazayato, and then it bounced off of the cheres and landed on the machat. So you can't be sure of what you did. You haven't established you did hazayah. Now what's the difference? Even if it bounced off the parrot onto the machat, it's a kosher hazayah anyway, according to you, because it's koko. And it says to the Gemara, don't read that nitza, read that matzah. The word here is you found the water on the needle, but not that it was mitzah. Not that it bounced on the needle. It may simply have gotten wet from what landed on the terrace. But there was no hazayah on it at all. Just rolled over, so to speak. The same as the case we had before of Shotit. Omer Papa, Haiman de Kafte Lechavin. How about if you tie a guy up? Va'ashkil alei bitzke demaya. And then you open up the dam. And now the water falls right on this guy. So in that case, Giri Videhu, that water is your arrows and your fight. Now this is only in the initial fall of the water. If the water now continues to flow downstream and drowns the guy, it's a groma biyama. And you would be putter. And of course the immediate question that suggests itself is, what's the difference between taking the trees away from the incoming arrow or taking away the dam from the incoming water? You take the trees from the incoming arrow, even if you shot the arrow, you'd be closer. The case of the opening the dam in front of the water, even if you didn't put the water there, you'd be higher. Sounds like a contradiction. Who's got a solution?
Okay,
and
what
okay, makes sense. A little bit. More immediate.
There's only one action here. In the case of the arrow, you have two things. You shoot the arrow, that alone's not enough. You take away the shield, that alone's not enough. Two of them together kill them. But here, yeah. With the dam, you take away the dam, that's it.
No, but you tie them up.
But that that's it, I mean, but that wasn't your chaos.
You removed what's preventing the water from eating it, then.
Here, when you remove the tree from preventing the arrow from eating it. The idea over here is, I think, important to note that this is the marker of the concept of potential energy in the Gemara. It's a tremendous difference. The tris is absolutely disconnected from having any impact on the arrow one way or another. The energy in the arrow has nothing to do with the tris. The energy in the water has everything to do with the dam. The thing that provides the energy to the water is the dam, in the sense that it's holding it against gravity, which is potential energy. Potential energy is a form of energy. It's a very bad word, potential energy, because it makes people think that it's not really energy, but it's in a place where it might have energy. That's not the idea. Otherwise, you'd be violating the law of conservation of matter and energy by opening up the dam, because where the energy comes from, you see. So it's a bad word, but put it into its real meaning. Potential energy is another form of energy, like heat energy. Right, so in other words, the fact, whatever energy was put in it to get it there in a way, that gravity was unable to drag it back down, is now embedded in the relationship of the dam and the water. So if I move that, then that is a direct release of energy, exactly like shooting the arrow. I do the same thing, I pull an arrow back, exactly. So what happens? The arrow now, there's potential energy now in the arrow that was provided
in the stream.
On the stream. It was provided by the stream that was provided by me. When I let it go, it's not that that's the same as now taking away the tree from under the arrow. That is what is meant by imparting energy to a thing. So over here, I impart the energy to the water.
By putting the pin from the hand grenade.
Pulling the pin from a hand grenade? No. No. You mean
after? Once you put out the pin,
right,
the lever jumps and it ignites.
Oh, okay, yeah, I know what you mean. You mean the person's already in the place where it's going to just pull the pin and run. Yeah, that's no different than firing the trigger.
The electricity in the wall.
Oh, so this is the question. This Gemara became a major issue in the electricity question, the original electricity question. Actually, the Akhiyaza deals with this particular Gemara in terms of electricity. It's how do we deal with a switch, with an electrical switch? Is it the equivalent of a bit kadamaya, so to speak? So that the potential energy is there. And now when I close the switch, I'm allowing the electricity to flow. No, of course not. But who cares? Right. In other words, again, in terms of gross effect, that's what certainly seems to be going on. If we can pretend, I mean, that's how early, how early descriptions of electricity actually presented it, like a flow of water, there's a flow of electrons, which is a very childish kind of metaphor, but it worked. There's a flow of electrons. So, but it can't get by the switch because if there's a dam there, now you open up the switch, you've allowed the flow of electrons to go through. So, I mean, that again, in gross terms, primitive terms, that's what seems to be happening. And I don't know, we probably don't care very much about non-primitive terms.
I just
can't
remember about 30 years ago on Texas.
I thought you were busy on your boat in Miami at that time. What is it? Get around.
He had a little knife.
He's on the left bank. George, that
minute,
and
he had a little knife when he brought it in.
All right, with that kind insight, so this is Dafka B'Kach Rishon. The Omer of Papa, Zorak Tzor Lamala. Now, yeah, this really gets interesting. You throw a rock up. And now it comes down. amazing. It just comes down. And if it's halchal, it's the din zaharga in your time. If it hits somebody who's off to the side, you'd be fired. But only because it's off to the side. Now this is really strange. I mean, because we're monitoring. If we view the placing of the rock in the sky as providing potential energy and releasing potential energy, then even if the rock comes straight down, it should be fired. If I don't view it that way, because I didn't do anything to release the energy that I provided it with and putting it up in the sky, then why would I be fired if it goes to the sky? And of course, the ingenious point of the Gemara is that there is two separate components of force in this case. If it went to the side, then obviously some of my force had thrown it to the side. That's the part that I'm chayav on. The other part, which only created a potential for the thing to fall, I'm putter on because I didn't release that potential.
So if he swallowed his own head, then
he's okay. In maybe if there wouldn't be, then that would be possible.
Well, so the idea is that it
But that little bit of sideways force is there initially, and maybe the equivalent of the Pasachal of Bitkin Amaya. Because I put it there in a way that allows it to slam into him.
So you're climbing the trajectory, only on the gravity.
That yes, but I would need to do something that's the equivalent of what Bitkin Amaya. It's just amazing because it took people thousands of years basically to recognize that issue. I mean, from the time the Gemara was written, it was over a millennia.
But
to define the two elements as being two separate elements of force, and that we've got a vector here that has to be analyzed clearly, it's just amazingly sophisticated. And the Gemara indeed asks, I mean, so how does that work? What are you saying? I mean, if you're calling this Koko, so then what's the difference if it goes straight down? Now, if it's called Koko, then Tezel Le'el, let it come straight down. The love Koko, if you're telling me now there's no Koko here, why doesn't it come straight? Because what did I put in it? Ela Kochushu. The point over here is that there is a small component of the force which is now turning over here to the side. And therefore, okay, that force is not going very far to the side. That's bothering you. I mean, if that's what I was doing, why didn't it go? Because that was a small component. It was a kalush. But that's not a question. So that element is indeed what I'm a chayav on. And that kachush, it's going on, continuing to go now with that kachush, and on that, I would be chayav.
Why do you decide
when you
drop the rock
and it's like this? Because there's Bitka Demaya. I release it. I don't release it. I put it there, but don't release it. Then I'd be chayav. That would be Bitka Demaya. I'd be chayav. You said if I hold my hand to it.
Is the inch
able to kill him?
No.
Okay, so then what I did was I released something. The fact that I also imparted the car going up doesn't matter. It's like saying Bitkin Amaya where I push it in and pull it at the same time. What's different? But I'm still releasing the potential energy in it so that it falls now the 20 feet and kills the guy in the bottom. What's different if it also has a component of an additional inch that I pushed it up at the same time?
Right.
Did it have energy before that could have killed the guy?
Before I drew it? No.
It didn't. So
I didn't.
Right, but I never released it. That energy I never released in a way that would hurt the guy. It came down on its own. Here, in the case you talked about, that was already 20 feet above the guy's head, I also pushed it up. Yeah, that doesn't matter, but I also released it in pushing it up.
And it would kill him.
No, I don't think. Why would that be? I don't see how it would be. It's more equivalent to a case of a bitket amaya, where you open up the dam by pushing it downwards, and then the water flows out. You have a raya. You're saying differently. Okay.
What about the case of Marcus with the dish? Everyone agrees that you're tired if you throw it at the